Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman. This past weekend was the MR 340, a 340-mile boat race down the Missouri River beginning in Kansas City and headed towards St. Charles. Last week, Central Standard intern Matt Hodapp got up at the crack of dawn to join the paddlers on the banks of the Missouri River as they set off on their voyage. Well, now they're back, and a couple of racers are here in the studio to tell us how it went. Doug Jennings, good morning.
Good morning.
And Amy Sevcik, good morning.
Good morning.
You guys look a little tired.
Still a little stiff.
Definitely still tight in places. It's a long couple days.
So, Doug, you've done this before. This was not your first time.
This is time number 8.
So how did this year's journey compare with previous years?
Still tiring. It doesn't get any easier the next year.
340 miles remains 340 miles.
And still is tough.
Is it always in August? It's usually a little earlier, in fact, right?
It all depends. They usually schedule it on the full moon. And so you have a full moon to paddle at night because it's a nonstop race. And it was originally scheduled the week after July 4th this year, and then it was postponed due to the high water. So we had to wait for the next full moon cycle to come around.
We are having, or have been having, unseasonably cool weather lately. Did that affect the experience for you at all?
It affected us. The first year I really ran into heavy fog because of the cool weather. In the morning, with the cool weather, the concentration on the water produced a really heavy fog, especially outside Herman, and it was so thick. I mean, we got to a point where we couldn't see our hand in front of our face for the last 4 miles getting into Herman, Missouri.
Yikes! How do you progress when that's going on?
Very slowly. We just pretty much just looked at our GPS, tried to stay in the middle of the river, and try to keep our boat straight, and hopefully not hit anything.
And Amy, this is your first time around. How did the actual experience compare to what you had imagined, what you had expected?
You know, it was similar to what I imagined it had been, because I knew it was going to be 340 miles. Like, there's no way that's going to be easy by any means. But I think it was a lot mentally tougher than I imagined it had been. You know, I started to get a little crazy sometimes at like 5 o'clock in the morning when I had been going all night. I kind of started to lose it a little bit sometimes, and I don't think I was expecting that as much per se.
Yeah, but middle of the night brain only on the river.
So that was a little challenging when you're on only a few hours of sleep and you've already been paddling for 120 miles that day and you still have another 10 miles to go. You kind of start to lose it. But
you said a few hours of sleep. Tell us about the sleeping arrangement. How do you get sleep on this boat ride?
You know, a lot of people did it differently. I saw a lot of people that would just pull over to a sandbar and sleep. My parents were my ground crew, though, so they would meet me however many miles to the next checkpoint, and they had a tent and tons of food and anything I could possibly need to replenish. So I would just kind of keep in contact with them, like, hey, I'm going to definitely need a couple hours of sleep in 50 miles or so. So they would meet me at that checkpoint with the tent and sleeping bag all set up. I'd run up there and get an hour and a half or 2 hours of sleep.
So you've mentioned some things that were like a little more challenging than you expected, like middle of the night paddling on very little sleep. Was there anything that was surprisingly smooth or more manageable than you expected it to be?
Yes. I think it was a lot of the camaraderie. I didn't know how much that would affect me in a positive way. Going into it, you know, a lot of people had already told me, like, oh, like, once you start paddling with people that are going your same speed, like, you'll make friends with them, it'll be a good time. But I did not understand how much that helped. There were several times when I was like, I'm done, I want to quit, this is too much for me to handle. And then right up out of my side, someone would paddle up to me and be like, hey, how's it going? And I'd paddle with them for another 10 hours or so, and that would just really help get my mind off of the pain.
Amy, tell me a little bit more about yourself. What prompted you to do this? Are you an athlete already, or was this just a bold move?
Yeah, you know, I've been doing a lot of sports my whole life. I've always been drawn to physical challenges and stuff. I row in college, so I've been on the river for a while. And then I heard about this race from my dad, actually. And there's just something about it, the sense of adventure attached to it that I was just really drawn to, because I think that adventure spirit kind of lives on in all of us. And there's just something about that race and the fact that it's the world's longest. That was just something super interesting to me, and I didn't want to pass it up.
And this is the longest. You've been competitive going down the river before. How much longer is this than the standard rowing competition?
So much longer. The standard rowing competition is only 2,000 to 6,000 meters. So that's done in under 25 minutes. So didn't exactly compare to over 70 hours on the river, but.
And Doug Jennings, you've been doing this for a long time. What are some of the biggest challenges? Is there a point along the race where it's this is where people really start to either crack or persevere?
Towards probably when you get 3/4 of the way done, because you know the finish line is there, but you still have that long ways to go, and you get into that second night. And not only does the distance come into effect, but Ava said, your mind starts playing tricks, and you start hallucinating and
hallucinating?
Seeing things. Oh, yeah.
Okay, you must elaborate.
All the trees on the bank start taking shapes of animals and cartoon characters. Every log or rock on the side of the bank starts looking like an animal or a person standing there waving to you, and sometimes it's tough to differentiate between is that actually a rock or is that an animal sitting there drinking water off the river.
The first time that happened to you, how did you get through it?
My teammate, we'd both just talk our ways through it, just kind of relate our experiences, what we're seeing back to each other,
So this particular race, can you just kind of walk me through the days? What was that first day like this year, this past weekend?
The first day, it started off pretty quick. We had a good ride to Lexington, which is the first checkpoint 50 miles in.
Explain the checkpoint concept.
There are, I believe, 7 or 8 checkpoints between here and St. Charles. And at every checkpoint, you have to check your boat in. And they make sure that you've passed that checkpoint, because if you don't hit that checkpoint at a certain time, they have a boat called the Reaper, and you have a set amount of time to hit each checkpoint to finish the race. And if you don't hit that checkpoint in a certain amount of time, the Reaper boat will come up behind you and let you know that they're going to pull you from the race.
And maybe for safety, I would think that would be really good, too, to have someone go looking for someone
right.
who hasn't made it.
And if you haven't checked in, then they realize, that there may be a potential problem out there, and they'll come looking for you also.
So your first day, you went to Lexington.
That's 50 miles is the first checkpoint to Lexington. And that is the longest checkpoint of the entire race. And then they get smaller. And not only that, it's pretty tough if mentally to do the whole race in one 340-mile stretch. You want to break it down into chunks. So you want to break it down into a 50-mile race, a 23-mile race to get through it. Because if you just think of 340, the enormity of it really, really plays on you.
There was supposed to be a meteor shower those first couple nights. Was that did that pan out how it was? Did you have a good view of that?
Oh, a beautiful view. We had the supermoon, the remnants of the supermoon, which really lit up the river. And then we had the meteor shower. So, yeah, it was fun paddling at night. It was nice and clear, and got a bonus of the meteor shower.
Any crazy stories that happened along the way this year? Anything that you saw that was a new one for you or just a new revelation?
The new thing this year was the fog. Never really paddled in 8 years, that I've been doing this. I think we had one where we had just a little wisps of fog on the river, but nothing so dense where it was a solid wall of fog that we had to encounter. So that was the new revelation here for this year's race.
And Amy Sevcik, since this was your first time, I'm guessing that most things were a new revelation for you. Take us through your journey. Tell us the story of your boat race.
Oh, everything was new and exciting at times for me. Day one was really exciting to see because everywhere you look, there's someone around you. There's someone to your right, to your left, forward and behind you. So it was always kind of a sense of security, and you could, like, keep your eye on someone ahead of you and make sure you're kind of going at their same pace and stuff. I was paddling next to a couple guys that first evening. I was feeling awesome. Then I pulled in Miami, which is about 100 or so miles in, and that's where I rested for the first night. And my parents had immediately noticed that I was, like, in need of rest because I, like, rolled out. I'm, like, stumbling out of my boat, but I was like, I want to keep going. And they're like, no, Amy, you need to sit. You are kind of losing it.
So your parents were there?
Yes, definitely. My parents were my ground crew. No way I would have finished without them. They were awesome.
So they just met you at various stages along the way?
Yep, they were at any checkpoint and a couple of ramps along the way, waiting for me with a dry set of clothes and a Snickers bar every time. So that was kind of my motivation to get to the next one.
Were you pretty drenched? I mean, describe what it's like to be doing this.
During the day was the hardest time for me because the sun was out and it was strong and it was hot and I was a little purple at times. I was so sunburned, and you're inevitably wet from sweat or the river water, and you're just kind of gross in general. You're a little muddy and stuff, too. Nighttime was definitely a better time for me.
Is that what you find, too, Doug?
Yes. During the day, the sun beats down on you, and not only that, it reflects off the water, so it even makes it a little bit hotter than what it normally is. And at night, it cools off, and you have the serenity. The wind drops down a little bit, and the river becomes a lot more calmer.
So, Amy, beyond day one, where you've gone 100 miles, your parents have lured you off the river, noticing that you really need to be resting, you've got a couple more days to go still. Any major accomplishments or milestones or just moments that really rise to the surface for you as part of this story?
Yes. Day two actually was the hardest one for me. It was hot. I woke up the next morning totally alone. Unlike day one, there's no one around me. I could not see another sight anywhere. And I had been paddling for probably 7 or 8 hours alone without anyone in sight. I didn't even see a safety boat that they had out. And I was kind of had a little bit of a mental breakdown. I was starting to hallucinate. I was, like, emotionally just really struggling.
Do you mind sharing what you were hallucinating? Were they trees taking form like what Doug described?
That happened a little bit more at night for me. But during the day, they have these kind of floating through the river. They're like brown, dirty bubbles that kind of stuck together. And there's a lot of those floating around. I remember at one point I was singing like Jingle Bells to myself. And I looked and I saw one of those dirty bubbles. And I thought it was a poodle. Like, I was like, oh, look, there's a little brown poodle swimming in the water. And at that point I was like, uh-oh. Starting to lose it.
And that is totally normal, Doug?
It's very normal.
That is wild. Okay, so Amy, this is your first race. Mm-hmm. And first of all, how did you mentally coach yourself out of a scenario like that? If that happened to me, I would be like screaming. And that would probably be my only coping mechanism.
There's a little bit of that going on. There's a little bit, you know, at times you just got to stop, put your paddle down, try and finish a Gatorade, just trying to get more electrolytes in your system. Just kind of recognize the difference between being fatigued and being in pain, because there's definitely a difference between the two. So as long as you can power through and understand that this race really isn't about whoever finishes first, it's more about your experience along the way. And I never wanted to be at that point where I was just like hating every second of it. So I just want to be able to finish comfortable and confident. And I think that's what I did. It was definitely painful at times, definitely wanted to quit probably 4 or 5 times, but finishing it was worth it.
Well, you just said that you didn't want to spend every minute hating it. You wanted to have a good experience mm-hmm. along the way. What were some of the moments where you got the good experience that you were looking for?
Every single night at twilight was just beautiful. The way the sun was hitting the water and some of the bluffs along the river and was beautiful. And then every single night there was the first night was a meteor shower, and every night there were falling stars after that, and it was just beautiful. Like, it was one of those experiences that you look back on and you're like, you know, not many times in my life am I going to be paddling through a meteor shower in the middle of the Missouri River. And a couple of the guys that I was paddling with just made the experience so worth it. They were so funny, and we were just having a great time, and they just really helped get me through that. You know, without some of the people I was paddling with, I would not have finished.
Do you think that the beauty could be what it was without the effort you put into getting there? Like, if you had just parachuted down for that moment, do you think it would have been the same moment?
I don't believe so, no. There's just something about being very physically fatigued and, you know, kind of following your finger along the map of how far you were and then looking up. And it was just kind of like a mini reward along the way. Like, you made it this far. Go ahead and enjoy the meteor shower for a few minutes.
And you did finish. Can you describe what it was like to approach the finishing line?
Oh, there was no better moment. I could see it kind of from the distance. I saw one of the boats go in that was a couple minutes in front of me. And I just kind of had to stop and take it in for a second. I kind of set my paddle down and I like looked at the finish line. I saw my parents there and I was like, you did it, Amy. You finished this. You set a goal and made it. And paddling in was just such a good feeling.
Was there a big crowd there to greet the people at the finish line?
Yeah, there was a big crowd of, you know, my parents, the race organizers, a lot of the volunteers were there, and then some of the parents of the people that I was paddling with were also there, and so there's just like a big crowd of everyone and new friends and stuff. It was a fun finish.
What was your time?
I finished at 74 hours and 1 minute.
Doug, how would you evaluate that time as someone who's been through this a few times yourself?
Oh, very, very good. You know, just finishing is an achievement. And then, you know, 74 hours for your first time is just super.
What was your time?
Ours was 59 hours, 5 minutes.
Dang, who was fastest? Did you win?
No, not. We were sixth. We took sixth place. I think the winning time this year was like 37 hours. A team from Seattle, Washington won this year.
Other than just like the joy of seeing a beautiful scene from the river and expending a kind of effort that makes it change qualitatively, is there anything that you learn from this experience? Like, say, is your understanding of the river, do you think, different because you do this?
You learn a lot from the river. Every time you go out, it's always changing. Every day that you're on it, it's always a new experience. You always see something different that you haven't seen, experience something you haven't experienced. So you're always learning something there every time out. Even if you're on there, like I train on the Kaw River throughout the week. And just every day on that river is completely different. So it's always changing. The water's always changing.
So that the river itself is always changing, like, is an understanding that not everyone has. Do you think that it's important for people to have that understanding of the river?
It is, because you know, the river is part of Missouri and part of the heritage of the people, the towns that are on the river.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's conversations. I'll have to start getting ready for next year's MR30, probably last month, which is already too late if I am ever going to get up the confidence to participate. So Doug Jennings, Amy Sevcik, I am impressed. Thanks for living to tell the tale and for telling it to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks to our Cash Money crew for the conversation about financial literacy earlier this hour. To listen back to today's show, go to kcur.org/centralstandard. Sign up for our podcast while you're there and stay current on our news by following us on Twitter. Our handle is @KCURCST. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman. Thanks again to Doug Jennings and Amy Sevcik of the MR340. Stick around for Up to Date next.